If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Been a part of that ever since its inception. The IRP6, for those of you who may have been following the program on the air, we've been on several interviews prior to tonight. The IRP6 are IT professionals who are currently incarcerated in federal prison in Colorado. They are accused and convicted of mail and wire fraud, and they were executives of a IT startup company called IRP Solutions Corporation. So, Cliff, you know, can you give us a little bit of background on how IRP6 got into the legal tangles that currently exist?
Sure. You know, back during the time when IRP Solutions was up and running and they were creating their software solution called CILC, for the acronym CILC, stands for Case Investigative Lifecycle. They incurred debt, you know, just like every small business does. And the only thing with this debt is that it got criminalized. And for the listeners, what you have to understand, especially with the IRP6 case, is that debt everybody incurs. When the federal government comes after you and takes that debt and criminalizes it, and in the case such as IRP6, when they have a conviction with that type of debt, that situation can then be used against you. And what you have to understand is that whether it's business debt, whether it's personal debt, they can now use the IRP 6 case as, you know, a record to say, hey, we went after debt, we proved that it was criminal, and now we can prosecute you for it. So say, you know, you take out a home loan, you get a credit card, you fall behind on these things, you lose your job, and you don't have a way to pay it. And now the federal government can come after you and say you never intended to pay it, you conspired not to pay it, you knew you weren't going to keep that job, and suddenly you'll find yourself locked up in federal prison like the IRP 6 for 7 to 11 years. It's a tragic case.
And, you know, Cliff, as the weeks go on, we're going to share a lot of the IRP 6 case as to, you know, information on the background of the company, information on the raid that occurred, some of the business prospects that IRP had, and then we have to dive into the tragedy and of the, you know, the gross injustice that occurred during the trial itself, you know, because there were a lot of things that occurred there that, you know, people are not aware of. And as we've talked several times, you know, we were naive. And many people are kind of used to the fact that, that you know, you go about life and you think you're doing things in a normal way. And then all of a sudden, you know, things that you're normally doing as a normal course of business gets kind of, you know, misconstrued, and you find yourself in federal court or someone trying to prosecute you. Now, we will have an opportunity for folks to dial in tonight. Our dial-in number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. If you'd like to talk with us about some judicial injustice, we'd love to talk with you. Right now on the phone, I believe we have Duke Brooks joining us. Duke, are you there?
Duke, are you with
us? This is Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Sorry, Dan, it's Michael. I was just sitting here listening until it was time for me to come on.
Oh, hey, Michael. Okay, I got Michael Smith on. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing fine, you guys. Just pardon me. It was sounding great, so I'll just, whenever you're ready for me, I'm just enjoying listening.
Hey, tell you what, is Duke out on the line there, Cliff?
I am looking for his number.
Okay.
And we don't have Duke on the line
okay,
right
so,
now.
Okay, so Michael, I'll tell you what. You know, we got involved with Conservative Nation Media after being on your show. And so what about this story intrigued you, you know, when we were on your show about 2 or 3 weeks ago?
Well, when Olivia, when it was first brought to my attention, it was our dear friend, that sweet lady Olivia Hodges. And she sent me a message on Facebook, and I guess that we met up somehow or another through probably Kay Carl or any number of folks. I don't know. We met up somehow. She said, Michael, would you be interested in reading up on this and talking to me? And I started reading up on this, and, you know, as I told you on the show, I don't get into identity politics. I'm a very political person, and I had you guys on, and I didn't want to, you know, make politics out of it. I wanted to look at the constitutional injustice that had been done here. And I couldn't believe what I was reading about this, these six gentlemen, the raid, the reason that they were arrested after what they had done developing this software, and then the conflict of interest, the apparent conflict of interest with the judge in the case. And when I got you guys on and started listening to you, Sam, and then Cliff, I mean, I was just, my mind was blown. I'm like, you know, we're already in a country where a lot of us, folks like me that are political, are skeptical of what's going on. We're skeptical of President Obama, skeptical of especially Eric Holder. And, you know, I'm looking at this and looking back at the appeal from 2011, and I'm like, this is a gross miscarriage of justice, and it's not a right or left thing, though I see it as being from the left, because it just flies, it smacks in the face of the Constitution, and from my perspective, everything that's happening in Washington, D.C. right now out of the Justice Department is a slap at the Constitution, and these gentlemen are being have been grossly mishandled, and I suspect, based on what we talked about on my show, which we didn't even nearly get to cover one-fourth of it, I don't think, in the 2 hours or the 1.5 hours that you gentlemen were on.
That's
and
right.
uh, I, that's when I, of course, reached out and said, you know, you guys got y'all need to have a show. I've done this. This can go on forever. But one of our other beautiful activists that you're into, I mean, and more, Sam. I don't know. Maybe if I'm just have gotten so jaded by everything over the last 5 years. But just, to me, this is just another injustice being done to a fine group of men who were producing millions and billions of dollars, providing people with a job and providing a service that would protect our country. And then all of a sudden they get nailed for mail fraud. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
And you know, Michael, you know, one of the things you touched on as far as the constitutional violations and so forth, you know, one of the things that we're fighting and assisting with right now from a Just Cause perspective with the IRP6 is the fact that, you know, their Fifth Amendment right was violated during the trial, where the judge who was presiding over that case, Judge Christine Arguello, had a sidebar, and she basically compelled the guys to take the stand against their will. And once they took the stand, Kendrick Barnes was the individual who took the stand. He asserted his Fifth Amendment right. And then after the fact, when they requested the transcript to substantiate that, then the judge would not allow or would not provide that transcript. And here we are almost 2 years later, Michael, and we are still fighting to get that transcript. So, you know, Michael, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Sam, and we're going to keep fighting. You know, we're not going to stop fighting, because this can't stand in America. We can't have businessmen doing what they were doing. And see, you know, and you guys know a whole lot more about this at a level that I couldn't even begin to comprehend it, because of what y'all do, you know, in life. But it seems awfully suspicious to the common man like myself, you know, just a regular layman is what I mean. That, not that y'all are not common men, but just a layman that's not in that field of expertise. When someone's developing software that can do what the IRP6 was developing, and then to come up with some bogus charges that they came up with, and I guess that's, to me, what makes it very suspicious.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, stay right there. We're going to come back in just a moment. We're going to go to a quick break. If you don't mind, just stay right there. We'll be coming right back to you.
ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, immediately following Soldier of Patriotism with Michael Smith on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
Hey, Michael, we had to get a plug there. Okay, we're back. I say we're back with Michael Smith from ConservativeNationMedia.com. So, Michael, again, you were talking about the IRP6 and how this story intrigued you, and you know, how the guys were developing $1 billion software. And, you know, I could share a little bit about that. And as we talked a little bit on your show, you know, Cliff and I were actually a part of the IRP Solutions Corporation, and where IRP Solutions was actually called by the Department of Homeland Security, and we went and did a demo, and they loved what they saw, you know, that was on the heels of 9/11, where, you know, the 9/11 Commission had basically stated that federal, state, and local law enforcement needed a way to collaborate and share information. And so Gary Walker, who is one of the IRP6, had developed the SILC software, which is Case Investigative Lifecycle. And one component of that software, Michael, was the Confidential Informant module. That one piece of the software was worth $100 million. So, Michael, as you say, you know, there was a lot of money on the table.
Well, and that's, I think, for me, this goes back to, I guess, to my very skewed outlook at what's happening right now in our country, Sam and Cliff. And, you know, we're talking about a lot of money. We're talking about government contractors, you know, I mean, I don't mean to imply anything that I don't know anything about, but I could just see other government contractors, whomever they might be, in that field of research, you know, $100 million, you're talking about a lot of money, and six gentlemen out in Colorado, obviously that know what they're doing, are the ones that cornered the market on this, if you will, and not to mention the type of software that it is. You're dealing with a government that's very, I think, very, very secretive in things that they do, and that's why I asked you on my show, what did the government, and of course you said no, and which shocked me.
Honestly, yeah.
Sam, they didn't commandeer, they didn't, you know, whatever you want to call it, eminent domain or whatever it would be on, you know, take the property rights, the intellectual property rights of Mr. Barnes and Mr., you know, all of you gentlemen that were developing this software and take it and use it and you know, basically, pardon the French, screw these gentlemen out of the money they had rightfully earned. That
yep.
really just it just when you add all of these, you know, it's like connecting the dots for me, and it's difficult for me to explain because, again, you know, I'm not a legal guy. I'm a grassroots guy, and but when you connect those dots in my mind, it very well looks strange. And you mentioned, and I guess we didn't get to that in my program, Sam, that the gentleman had pleaded the fifth, you know, and I seem to recall just a year ago, not even a year ago, Miss Lerner up there in Washington, D.C., pleading the fifth, and they're forcing these men to testify against their will. That's just another dot that says there's something very fishy going on here.
That's right. Hey, you're listening to A Just Cause Coast to Coast on conservativenationmedia.com, and we will be right back in a moment.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up, not knowing what to do. Free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck for Dave 2037 so he can buy anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. What are you getting Steve 2037?
Steve 2037 will be just fine.
Well, okay, but don't expect to borrow my anti-gravity boots.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks. Feel like a million bucks. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, with my co-host Cliff Stewart and our very own Ethel Lopez, Vice President of Just Cause. A Just Cause Radio, education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Hey, Michael, you still there?
Yes, sir, I'm still here, Sam.
Okay, Michael. Hey, we want to thank you for joining us on the show today. We will definitely have you back. I
appreciate it.
Okay, sir, and we appreciate your support and everything that you've done for us up to this point. And you know, we'll be talking to you again soon. I think we have.
Well, you and Cliff and the whole crew over there. I'm glad we've partnered up. I really look forward to it, and you can count on our continued support. If you don't mind, Tim, I'm not at home. I'd like to listen to the rest of the show if you've got an extra phone line there and you just park me.
Okay, we'll do that for you.
Thank you very much, Sam. You guys have a great show. Sounding great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much,
thank
Michael.
You.
Y'all be sure to just park Michael there so don't drop him so he can listen in. Okay, Duke, are you there? Duke, are you there?
Yes, I am, Sam. How are you doing?
Hey, Duke. Thanks for joining us. Duke Brooks, host of Radio Free America and President and General Manager of ConservativeNationMedia.com. Duke, thanks for joining us on our inaugural show of A Just Cause Coast to Coast right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Thank you for being with us. And, you know, you folks told us that you had never hosted a radio show before, but frankly, I don't believe that because you guys are sounding wonderful. And I'm so happy and I'm so proud. And, you know, the subject matter that we're discussing, which is, I guess one might refer to as the kind of dark underside of our system of justice here, is one that really needs to get some sunlight. Now, we do have the most admired and the most respected system of justice in the world because it's one of the only ones that gives more rights to the accused than it does to the prosecutor, the government. And in our system, the burden of proof is not on the accused. But that doesn't mean that it is perfect because it's run by human beings. And as we all know, all human beings are flawed, and some are more flawed than others. But I am just very, very glad that the IRP6 are getting this kind of exposure. And I know you're also going to be talking about other cases where justice has gone off the rails and where people have lost the rights that they were intended to have. And I'm really looking forward to the rest of this and future editions of A Just Cause right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So welcome, guys, and thank you.
Thank you, Duke.
Thank you.
And, you know, like we were just telling Michael Smith, you know, we appreciate you guys' support, and, you know, we appreciate the compliments, but you know, you were right there for us and helping us to get everything set up. And, you know, we appreciate that. You put in a lot of time to help us get to this first show. And, you know, just go from here and just make it the best show that we can for ConservativeNationMedia.com.
You're doing a bang-up job so far. So I look forward to listening to the rest of it. Thank you very much for being with us. And you just keep on doing what you're doing because you are doing a great job.
Okay, thank you, Duke. Duke Brooks, President and General Manager of ConservativeNationMedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Duke. Okay, so let's jump to a little bit more of the IRP6 case, just to kind of bring people up to speed on that. And, you know, for those of you who are just tuning in, we do have a call-in number if you'd like to call in and be on the show. That number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. That's for Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we provide education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. So I think we have a caller in the queue. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, we're looking for caller area code 817 and your last four digits 6965. Are you with us? Guess not. Maybe we lost them. Okay, we are going to take.
We have another caller there?
Yeah, I'm looking at caller with area code 719, last four digits 3440. Are you with us? Hello?
Caller, are you there?
Alrighty. Okay, they don't want to talk.
Yeah. We have another caller?
No, not at this time.
Okay, so let's go on and talk a little bit about, you know, one of the things that we from A Just Cause have realized is that, you know, when folks are convicted and go to prison, it seems as though that the system is designed to shut them up. It's designed to ensure that they do not have a voice. And, you know, guys are sitting in prison, and sometimes they will sit there for 10, 15, 20 years, and no one will listen to their story. No one will hear their pleas. And, you know, that's one of the things that we found out with the IRP6, in the sense that, you know, the system is designed to try and put you away and try and shut you up. But, you know, one of the things I like to always talk about is the fact that when the IRP6 found themselves in this particular situation, then it was, you know, they realized that the system was not what it's cracked up to be. And we have to identify who the IRP6 are. We're talking about Gary Walker. He was the CEO of IRP Solutions. David Banks was one of the officers. Clinton Stewart was one of the officers. Dave Zappolo, Kendrick Barnes, and Demetrius Harper. Now, you know, one of the things that's very important is because of the things that the IRP6 were subjected to, they realized that, you know, the system is flawed. And so they played a critical role in getting A Just Cause set up. And so now what A Just Cause does, we are the voice for the people who don't have a voice. You know, the guys, our friends, Cliff, you know, they are currently incarcerated, except for the fact that, you know, the 30 volunteers or so, folks like Ethel Lopez, and Ethel, we're going to have you talk a little bit about some of the things that you've done when we come back on the air. But, you know, things that we do as far as reaching out to the media, reaching out to legislators, reaching out to the attorney general, and just reaching out to everyone that we possibly can, you know, in order to get the story out there. So we will be right back in a moment, and we'll be back with Ethel Lopez.
One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365.
Okay. Thanks for that, Cliff. Hey, Ethel, let's jump to you right now. We got about a minute or so that we can share a little bit about some of the things that you've done with A Just Cause and some of the folks that you've reached out to, and then when we come back from that next break, we will jump into that a little bit more.
Oh.
But tell us a little bit about what you do for A Just Cause.
Absolutely. I'm really over the group of people who reach out to the social media on behalf of A Just Cause for these people that have been wrongly convicted who do not have a voice to speak for themselves. You know, we reach out to different people, such as different advocacy groups. We reach out to congressmen, congresspeople. We're reaching out to the Department of Justice and practically anybody, even with the different Blog Talk radio stations that we can get to help us, you know, to speak and get the information out concerning these wrongful convictions. You know, we just want people to know that these men have families, and the world needs to know how these people are being treated. When you've been wrongly convicted, one thing people don't think about is the families, okay? And that's what we want to get out there, and we want to tell people, stop and take a look, take a listen, because it could be you.
Absolutely, and, you know, I was thinking about what Michael Smith had mentioned about Eric Holder and the different federal agencies that the public think that they would be able to go to, that, you know, they would cry out for help. Like in the IRP6 case, we've been looking for a missing transcript for 2 years now. And you think, with Eric Holder being the attorney general, that would be the place that you would go that would deal with situations like this, that deal with a missing transcript. I mean, it doesn't seem like a difficult proposition to contact the court in Denver, Colorado, and say, hey, you're under the federal arm. There's a missing transcript in a case that you transcribed. Where is it? And to have Eric Holder's office not respond in a way that you would anticipate, not really go after it, it really is troubling, and we want the general public to understand that you're not just going to make a phone call and expect to get in touch with somebody. You're going to have to fight and fight very hard to get any type of result.
You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast with Sam Thurman and Cliff Stewart. If you'd like to call into the show, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. We'll be right back.
Happy holidays, everybody. This is Brad Paisley for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. When you're traveling during the holidays and see somebody who's had too much to drink about to get behind the wheel, well, get those keys and save a life. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Happy holidays, everybody. This is Brad Paisley for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. When you're traveling during the holidays and see somebody who's had too much to drink about to get behind the wheel, well, get those keys and save a life. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goats for the Old Goat.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Welcome back to the program. This is Sam Thurman and Cliff Stewart on A Just Cause Coast to Coast on conservativenationmedia.com. Welcome to the program, A Just Cause inaugural show on conservativenationmedia.com. Thank you for joining us, where we provide education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We're going to return back to Ethel Lopez. Ethel Lopez is one of the vice presidents of A Just Cause. And A Just Cause is an organization that was set up in 2005 to fight against overcriminalization and to fight against the injustice that can occur in our judicial system in the United States. You know, we want to bring balance and accountability. And that's one thing that did not happen and has not happened so far in the IRP6 case, which A Just Cause, we're going to do everything within our power to ensure that we bring our brothers home. And when I say our brothers, I'm talking about Gary Walker, David Banks, Clinton Stewart, Dave Zappolo, Kendrick Barnes, and Demetrius. Now, you know, there are a lot of other people out there who have been subjected to injustice in our system. And so, you know, we are taking on that fight and starting a grassroots effort. But, Ethel, let's jump back into the discussion as far as IRP solutions and the IRP6. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we always have been asked the question as to, you know, well, what about the so-called leaders in this country? You know, have we reached out to the Al Sharptons of the world? Have we reached out to the Jesse Jacksons of the world? You know, I think it would be interesting for our listeners to hear some of the things that we've been subjected to in trying to get some traction on this case.
Absolutely, Sam. We've reached out, you know, to a number of individuals. And what I would like to do really is start with Attorney General Eric Holder's office, in which, you know, I said previously that we have about 30-plus volunteers who are, you know, on social media. You know, we're on Twitter, we're on email, Facebook. I mean, just about every way you can think possible as far as trying to reach out to Eric Holder's office. To date, we have received absolutely no response from Mr. Holder. We were told, yes, he is definitely aware of, you know, the situation of our case and what we're requesting him to do, but there is no answer or no response as to when he's going to do it, or he hasn't called back. No one from his office has contacted us, but we're still knocking on those doors, and we're knocking on that door every single day.
Ethel, what's one of the things that we're doing on a daily basis as far as Eric Holder's office?
With Eric Holder's office, we're making phone calls to his office daily. Okay, we're talking to anybody that answers the phone. We're asking them, why hasn't Mr. Holder contacted us about this situation? Because from our understanding, he does know what's going on. Okay, even with the Civil Rights Division, we're calling everywhere within the Department of Justice that we can possibly call. We're leaving messages, and no one as of yet has returned a call to us or told us anything that they're possibly even trying to do with the situation.
And, you know, I know that A Just Cause has a phone calling campaign. We have email campaign. And so how is that going?
You know, with the phone calls, like I said, we're on top of that every single day. You know, we're sending emails. We have some of us emails that go automatically every day to Mr. Holder's office. You know, and as far as the listening audience, if you're interested, we're asking you, reach out and just call his office. The number is 202-514-2003. That is to Attorney General Eric Holder's office. Call his office and just ask him, investigate the IRP6 case and what took place there. There's a missing transcript that we're trying to get. And Mr. Holder has not said anything about that as yet. You know, and I understand, you know, he made the speech to the American Bar Association as to what he wanted to do as far as prison reform, overcriminalization, you know, and mandatory minimums and so forth. This missing transcript is something that took place, you know, during this trial. And we need that transcript so that these men can get a fair appeals hearing. So why he won't respond and why you're allowing these six men to sit in prison, have been wrongly convicted, and the transcript is missing, their families are suffering, I don't understand that. Maybe someone can explain that to me.
I think it's a key path, because when you look at it, you look at these things that happen in cases. You say there's a missing transcript, there's a person who was a defendant that was forced to testify. You have all of these egregious acts during a case, and yet men are sitting in prison. And you would think with the American system that the system, you know, you hear often, oh, we have the best judicial system in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, why do we have the most prisoners? Why is it that we have so many people that spend time in prison for no particular reason? And then you have a missing transcript, but men have been in prison for a year. And where's the answer? Who says, hey, get those men out, you have a transcript missing, until you find it, until you present it, then you need to leave them alone.
And
you don't have a case.
And you know, Cliff, Duke actually just kind of shared that as well when he said, you know, we talk about our judicial system as being the best in the world. And even reflecting on the speech that Eric Holder gave in San Francisco in August of this year, Ethel, what you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
he actually said, you know, he has faith in our judicial system, but it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And he said far too many people go to prison for no good legal, no good law enforcement reason.
Okay.
And for cause, you know, he's calling for reforms. You know, the thing that I want to see, I know the things that you want to see and a lot of our listeners want to see, is the fact that these people take action. You know, it's time out for just words and, you know, and just talking about, you know, well, I want this to happen or I want that to happen.
Right.
You know, it's good to stand up and make a speech, but at the same time, you know, we need to have some action. You know, I just wrote a letter to the chief judge in the district, the federal district court for the District of Colorado, and brought up the same issue. You know, we've been reaching out to a lot of people. And so, you know, Chief Judge Krieger, you know, it was like, you know, we're not asking you to make a decision on guilt or innocence.
Right.
We're asking you to help uphold the Constitution of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
When people are afforded the right and when their Fifth Amendment rights are violated, and then you have people that are obviously involved in a cover-up
mm-hmm.
with regard to this transcript situation, and we'll talk a little bit about that even more when we come back in a few minutes. But, you know, it's one of those things where it has to change. And,
yeah.
and, you know, as we, you know, this is our platform.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about all that kind of stuff, and we will.
Right.
You know, listeners that are calling in who've been subjected to it, their family members who've been subjected to it,
mm-hmm.
we'll talk about all that. And tonight, if anyone would like to call in and be a part of the show, call 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. That's A Just Cause Coast to Coast. And this is where we're going to give you education, awareness, information about judicial injustice. And folks, you're tuned in to the inaugural show of A Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Sam Thurman, with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez, and we're just going to, you know, invite you to call in and talk about some of the things that are important to you to injustice. So let's touch a little bit more on the IRP6 case and, you know, how this case came about. You know, Cliff, let's go back to the beginning. I think we need to kind of level set some things, share with folks where we are, and as far as, you know, how the warrant came about, how the raid was conducted, some of the things. You were there on the day of the raid, but let's kind of talk about how the investigation process should happen and what happened in this case.
Absolutely. When you look at the way that the federal government brings a case against a person, a group of people, a corporation, you know, it starts at the investigative body. You would have someone in the public, they would reach out to the FBI and say, hey, I think these people or this company are doing something unlawful, something crooked. They're breaking the law on a federal level. And, you know, anything on a federal level is something that crosses state lines. And so the person would reach out to the FBI. The FBI would then take what they find during their investigation and say, let's take this to the U.S. Attorney's Office in our state. And we'll use this example, Colorado. And they would go to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Denver and say, we found this information about this company, and we want to know if you think you can get enough to bring an indictment against these people via grand jury. And once that is presented to the U.S. Attorney's Office, the U.S. Attorney's Office would impanel a grand jury and say, we think we have enough. We think these people are breaking the law and they're doing some criminal activity. They would impanel that grand jury, present their evidence. The grand jury would say, well, hey, yeah, looks like you've got something here. There's something wrong. They would send back an indictment. In this situation, the process totally went backwards. And when we come back, I will get into that and we'll begin to tell you how this situation came about, how it was presented, and all the egregious acts that happened that brought this against IRP6.
Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers. So what would you expect? No truth to the rumors that he has a dartboard of Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
Okay. What we want to understand is how this situation with IRP6 came about. I just mentioned how, you know, the true investigative activity that should happen starts at the public, goes to the FBI. The FBI goes to the U.S. Attorney's Office. That U.S. Attorney impaneled a grand jury. Those grand jurors would send back an indictment or not, depending on the evidence that they found. When we look at this situation, you look at how a overzealous FBI agent by the name of John Smith, special agent in charge of the raid over the IRP Solutions Corporation, he got a search warrant, but the way that he got this search warrant was based pretty much on a lie. He went out, told the judge that, you know, wrote an affidavit to the judge that, hey, this company, IRP Solutions, is reportedly producing software, and purportedly basically means, hey, you're a front company, you're telling lies that you have some product that you're selling or trying to sell, but really you're just putting up a front. The issue with this situation is that John Smith had interviewed people at Department of Homeland Security where IRP Solutions had gone and demoed their software several times, had customized the software for Department of Homeland Security, had been to NYPD. And these were the places that he interviewed and talked to and knew that this software is good, this company is legitimate, and he still creates an affidavit, gives it to a federal judge saying this is a front company. So he goes about lying to get his search warrant to raid this this corporation. And after that, I mean, you even have where
IRP Solutions had basically subject matter experts in the building that were retired federal officers, and one of them named Gary Hilberry. He was a federal ICE agent, and he worked at IRP Solutions as a subject matter expert and had spoken to John Smith and told him that the company was good, the software was good, and that everything was on the up and up.
We'll be right back after this.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent in the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're tuned to a dust.
Why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
You're tuned to a Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, along with Clifford Stewart. I kind of jumped the gun here, Cliff.
No problem.
Hey, this is our inaugural show with the Just Cause Coast to Coast. You will get educational awareness information about judicial injustice. And we're talking about the IRP 6 tonight. Our call-in line is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. I'm going to take this quick opportunity also. If you like a little bit more information about a Just Cause, it's www.a-justcause.com. And we also have a website that is set up specifically for the IRP 6, and that is www.freetheirp6.org. Again, freetheirp6.org. So, Cliff, we were talking a little bit about how the IRP 6 case got started, and I know you were sharing a little bit about the investigation process. And, you know, I want to jump on one thing that you were talking about, you know, when you mentioned how the grand jury should get involved and how they are brought into the process. And, you know, in this case with the IRP 6, the case did not happen the way it's designed to. I mean, if the process was allowed to go along the way it's designed to, it would have worked. And our friends would not be in prison right now. The way this one happened is that there were two grand juries. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're asking, you know, how in the world can that happen? It's one of those things where if you don't get the answer that you want in the first one, let's go on and convene a second one. So, you know, in this case, you got Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch, and they had one grand jury. That grand jury, you had several witnesses that were called. They had a lot of evidence that was presented. And in that grand jury, they said this is a debt collection case, which is really what it was. You know, if you go back and look at how IRP being a startup company incurred debt, that's exactly what it was. That first grand jury said, no, this is a debt collection case. They did not return a indictment. Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch out of Denver, he convened a second grand jury where he called one witness, and that was FBI agent Mullen. And, you know, obviously that second grand jury did not see or hear all of the same evidence that the first grand jury did. And that's when they came back with an indictment. So, you know, Cliff, what do you think about that?
Well, when you look at the reason behind it, I mean, anybody listening would think, well, first off, why would he call a second grand jury? And then second off, how does he get away with that? But when you look at the whole situation, and as I was talking earlier about, you know, how an investigation typically starts, this investigation went absolutely backwards. You know, I was getting to the point with Gary Hilberry, who he wrote an affidavit. He was a retired ICE agent in Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And he wrote an affidavit saying IRP Solution is a viable company. They have a viable product. It's good for federal, local, and state law enforcement. And he wanted to stay on. And the fact is he and two other retired federal agents were working without being paid until the software sold because they believed in it that much. And, you know, the crazy thing about this, you know, John Smith was an FBI agent, I think maybe 18 months or something like that, when he pulled off this raid. Well, you got Hilberry and the other two federal agents who, you know, they were retired. They had 20 years plus under their belt. They said there's no criminal activity going on here. And you have this rookie who comes on, and, you know, he's trying to get a name for himself, and he starts lying, making an affidavit, and sending it to a judge. But you look at the reasons why Matthew Kirsch would call a second grand jury. And when you look at the way that this happened, you know, you have one of the staffing companies that were involved with IRP Solutions, Susan Holland of ETI Professional. She has connections up at Holland & Hart up in Denver, Colorado. And there is a partner up at Holland & Hart named Greg Goldberg. Greg Goldberg used to be an assistant U.S. attorney in the Denver office. He worked with Matthew Kirsch, who is the assistant U.S. attorney who prosecuted this case. So you have this web of friends, this whole little spider web of, you know, goo and deception, and they're all coming together to ensure that, you know, hey, we gotta get these guys, we gotta bring them down. And so why would he impanel a second grand jury? Because he's calling in, and his friend is calling in a favor for him, like, look, I need you to get something on these guys, find it. First grand jury says, no, this is a debt collection case. He impaneled the second grand jury and, like you said, only calls one of his FBI cronies to the witness stand, and they get an indictment. But the worst part of this situation is the judge in this case, Judge Christine Arguello, she used to be a partner at Holland & Hart Law Firm. So you have Holland & Hart Law Firm in cahoots with the judge, in cahoots with the assistant U.S. attorney, Susan Holland from ETI Professional. She's calling in favors. They're all calling in favors to each other. And the judge and the prosecutor are there to ensure that these men get prosecuted and brought down. And it is a tragedy. It is a mishandling of justice. And it is a straight-out crime. I mean, the things that happened during this case. But what the public has to understand is that there is no accountability for judges, for prosecutors. A federal judge gets appointed to the bench by, you know, whomever, you know, President Obama or some president before him. And then they're just there. They're not voted out. Nothing happens to them. They break the law, and they get a slap on the wrist. They get a reprimand, a public, hey, you shouldn't have done that. They get their name put in the paper. Oh, this judge, you have one federal judge. Got a $700 fine for breaking the law. And it's like, well, what does $700 do when you got people spending years in jail wrongfully? You have people being put on death row. You have men spending years upon years upon years in prison, and they've been wrongly convicted, and nothing happens to the prosecutor or the judge.
And, you know, Cliff, I think, you know, let's because we want to be sure that our listening audience really understands, you know, all of the background of this case and how even, like you stated earlier, that Agent Smith had the search warrant under the auspice of, you know, that this was a company that was purportedly developing software, and then they this raid in February of 2005. You know, now one of the things that, you know, when you really lay this out and people start looking at it and they say, well, you know, this thing starts off at one level and then it just goes, you know, from one level to the next, to the next, to the next, and then it just gets worse and worse and worse. And so, you know, when they executed the raid in February 2005, they being the FBI, you know, there were, what, 21 armed federal agents that came into IRP Solutions on that day?
Yes, exactly.
And how many employees were at IRP on
that
day?
There were somewhere between 15 and 18 of us in the office that day.
And, you know, there were threats that were being made. Then, you know, there were things that were going on that, you know, we don't readily jump to the fact that, you know, IRP Solutions was a minority-owned and operated company. But that is a factor because, you know, I think, you know, Cliff, I wasn't there on that day, but you were actually there on that day. And, you know, when you look at some of the things that occurred and the racial overtones that occurred, you know, and then, you know, as the case progressed, you know, we got a few minutes before our next break, but, you know, share with the listening audience, you know, a couple of the things that happened. I know, you know, they also came in and said, you know, that they were looking for financial records. Right. And Gary Walker and David Banks, you know, they pointed out where the filing cabinet was with the financial records. Yet, you know, the FBI proceeded to go around and copying all the data off of all of the computers in the company. So that takes you to another level. A question as to the intellectual property and, you know, the software that Gary was developing. But let's kind of jump to, you know, the attitudes of the federal agents when they came into the facility at IRP Solutions.
Well, you have, you know, when there's a federal raid and they come in, like you said, they're looking for financial records. This isn't a company that, okay, we're coming in, these are drug dealers, these are gun runners, these are dangerous people that are probably armed and they've got, you know, hidden things and weapons everywhere. I mean, this is an IT corporation. This is an IT company with about 15 employees in the office that day. But they come in, they have this show of force, they push their way into the building. They at first they didn't even want to show the search warrant. And then after being asked time and time again, where is the search warrant? Then they finally show it. Search warrant says that they're looking for financial records. Well, the executives, like you say, they put a filing cabinet in the middle of the floor, clearly marked financials. They walk around that filing cabinet for 10 hours, and like you said, they made digital copies of every computer in the building, all the way from the facility manager up all the way up to the CEO. And like Sam said, I was there that day. They had me come in the server room. I was acting as a developer and also a system administrator for IRP Solutions. They threatened to the computer if we can log into them. And, you know, we're questioning, well, why do you need to log into the development server if you're looking for financial records? Why do you need to log into the software test server if what you're looking for is communications between the staffing companies and IRP Solutions? Why do you need to even touch these computers? But, you know, after the threats of, you know, we're going to crash the computers and snatch hard drives and, you know, that they'll never come back up, you know, we did log on to them, and they made copies, I mean, of everything. Clearly, you're looking for financial records. You're looking for something else. You're looking to try to steal the software. And the crazy thing about that is, If this is a purported software company, if you don't believe that there's any software, why are you going to the development server? Why are you going to the test server like you're looking for software if there's not supposed to be anything there? And they stayed there again for 10 hours, imaging every computer. They corralled every African-American employee in the building. They corralled us in the cafeteria and basically told us, you know, they put an armed agent at each door and said, even if you want to go to the restroom, to be escorted. And when you say, okay, I live in America, I'm not supposed to be under arrest unless I've done something wrong. And when you come in, you're looking for financial records, you know, they frisked me out in the hallway, went through my pockets, took my phone apart, you know, getting to the SIM card. Like, I'm like, I don't have any financial records in my phone, in my wallet. I just work here. I'm not the financial person that handles those type of records. And so when you look at it, you say, well, why are they going through all this? Why are they taking this type of data? They're pulling the financial records out of the filing cabinet. And the only conclusion that you can come to is that they're trying to steal the software that they claim doesn't even exist.
And, you know, Cliff, we'll get back into more of that and talk about some of the things that happened during the raid, and then we'll, if we have time, to get into the actual case itself as far as the trial. When we return right here on A Just Cause Coast to Coast, I'm Sam Thurman, your host, with my co-host Cliff Stewart. We also have joining us tonight Ethel Lopez. A Just Cause Coast to Coast on conservativenationmedia.com.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to
adapting your home and community.
Public service
to
message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
A Just Cause Coast to Coast is Sam Thurman. My co-host, Cliff Stewart, Ethel Lopez. Educational about official justice on conservativenationmedia.com. If you'd like to call into the show this evening, it's 705-7176, 718-305-7176. This is our inaugural program on conservativenationmedia.com. We're talking about the IRP6 case, and, you know, one of the things, Cliff, that you were talking about that, you know, we had an attorney friend out of New York that we had a conversation with recently. And when you were sharing about being, detained and searched and so forth, you know, he just readily went to the point of unlawful detention, you know, custodial arrest, illegal search and seizure. You know, he just had a laundry list of things that went wrong with this that it seemed our court officers in Denver and in the federal court district of Denver do not want to, you know, look at that. And I think that's why it's important for Just Cause to continue to raise those issues in this case and then even in other cases that come up. But, you know, share a little bit about, you know, about that when we, you know, we had that conversation with our friend out of New York.
Yeah, and he was basically saying that, you know, he really came into looking at this case from a standpoint of a skeptic, you know, to say, hey, you know, he wants to make sure that everything's clear. He has no preconceptions, just going over the facts. And when he did, he really, really was upset, you know, being an attorney and, you know, being a person that had gone to the bar and, you know, just being in that arena, just being his profession. And the things that he told us, he said, you know, that he really, the fact that, you know, the judge being associated with the Holland and Hart law firm, that was a serious issue for him, because when you look at it,
the oaths that they take to be lawyers, to be judges. You have a duty to the public, is the way he put it, is that you want to ensure that the public's trust is maintained, that it stays intact, and you have a judge that should recuse themselves, and when they're asked to recuse themselves after the fact that they should have done it themselves and they don't, he really had a problem with that, because based on the law, you know, if there's a implication of impropriety, if there is a implication of a conflict of interest, the law says that a judge should step down to ensure the public's trust. And this is far more than an implication. You worked at a law firm where you were a partner that brought all this about. And for that judge not to step down, that was really, really troubling to him. And it really speaks to the fact that, like I alluded to earlier, there is no accountability. When you have a judge that just blatantly breaks the law, and now what happens to her? She didn't step down. She should have. She should have recused herself. But now what's going on?
And you know, Cliff, she should have recused herself for more reasons than just that of the connection with Holland and Hart.
Absolutely.
You know, there was another case related to this, LaWanna Clark, where, you know, Judge Arguello presided over that case. Now, you know, we haven't had the opportunity to talk about that case hardly any on any of the interviews that we've been on over the several weeks.
Right.
And we'll be able to talk about that a little bit as well. But, you know, just for our listeners, that's a situation where LaWanna Clark is the sister of one of the IRP6. She is the sister of David Banks. And, you know, she was accused of perjury. And, you know, it was a situation that, again, it looked as though Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch was attempting to just go over with everything within his power. And when you really examine it, it was a motive of trying to put tighten the screws down on her to get one of the guys to flip, as they say. You know, we heard even conversations of one of the attorneys for one of the IRP6 was in a conversation with Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch, and basically said, hey, your guy is the one that's going to flip. You know, and so how can, you know, you look at this kind of situation, and as Gary Walker has stated so many times, it's not about justice. You know, it's a win at any cost. And so you're looking at this situation whereby, you know, you have all kinds of stuff going on where the judge should have recused herself because of the fact that she was initially involved in the LaWanna Clark case. Then the case comes up with the IRP6. She was too closely tied to all the facts that were already going on. Even, you know, there were comments that she was making during the IRP6 case where she had already made a foregone conclusion that you guys were running some elaborate scheme and you were running some kind of scam and you should have thought about that before you did. That is not the truth. And, you know, oftentimes you talk about it from the standpoint that the judge should be a referee.
Right.
And so, you know, our friend out of New York, you know, he pointed out three things that went wrong in this case where, you know, it's clear that it should not have happened and it was grounds for dismissal or at least grounds for a new trial. When you look at, you know, Judge Arguello not recusing herself, you look at one of the things when it got into trial, they didn't allow expert witness testimony. And when I say they, Judge Arguello didn't allow expert testimony. She also, you know, there was the situation of the warrant. The warrant stated that this company is purportedly developing software. Well, once you prove that the company is legit, once you prove that the company is developing software, then that dispels that notion that this is a company that is purportedly developing software. So there are a lot of things that we can point at in this case, and we will dive deep into it. We will examine it. And by the time, you know, our listeners over the next, you know, few shows, this along with other cases, they will be intimately familiar with some of the things that can go wrong in a case. But we have to, as a just cause, ensure that we do, as we say, awareness and information about judicial injustice, because, you know, unless folks make themselves aware and get educated about it, you know, there go you, there go I. We could all find ourselves subjected to this.
Exactly. And when you look at, you know, going back to the LaWanna Clark case, you look at the comments that Judge Arguello was making during that case about her being involved in this scheme. And, I mean, for her, she was asked hundreds of questions on the stand of the grand jury. And this was during the first grand jury
that came back and said no crime was committed, that this is a debt collection case. Well, out of these hundreds of questions, she claimed she lied on three questions. In court, two of those things were shot down. The third one that she was wrongfully convicted of was basically because he said she signed a withdrawal slip from her bank account, and she said, I did not sign that withdrawal slip. My sister did. A handwriting expert took to Judge Arguello immediately after the trial saying, no, this is her sister's signature, and this is not her signature. What does Judge Arguello say? You should have brought that in earlier. You should have brought that during the trial. Well, what difference does it make? It's evidence that proves the innocence of a person, but you send her to prison for 6 months and say, no, you should have brought that during trial. So too bad, tough luck. And the judge actually tells her, well, good luck to you, Ms. Clark, while you spend 6 months in federal prison away from your family. And then that was the other thing that our attorney friend out of New York told us, and actually some other investigative reporters said, you know, these are the judge draw these cases by lottery.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty much you pull a name out of the hat for your next case. Well, how do you get the case of LaWanna Clark, and then you also get the case of the IRP 6?
And they also have stated that who goes to prison for perjury?
Right. Who goes to prison for perjury? First-time offense, no criminal record.
None.
The only infraction LaWanna Clark ever had was a traffic ticket. This is a woman who grew up in the church. She grew up helping others. She's an integral part of the community. If she sees somebody in a need, she is there to help that she sees. And for this judge to prosecute her and then tell her good luck to you while the judge has evidence on the table that says she's never committed this crime in the first place, that is totally disgusting. But then how does that judge get the same case for the IRP and, you know, making, like you said, making all these type of comments, oh, you guys did this scheme, this and this and that. She was already skewed and biased from the beginning and should have dropped away from this case and walked away and done what she could to ensure that justice was preserved.
We'll be right back in just a moment. Cliff, I think you got something there for our listeners to listen to.
Absolutely. The left can't stand the Second Amendment in America. And now there's something else there. It's the Second Amendment Forum on conservativenationmedia.com with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. We welcome Max and his decades of firearms and Second Amendment rights experience to Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. The leftist administration in D.C. wants to disarm the American people, and Max just won't let that happen. The Second Amendment Forum, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservative, where America always wins.
Who wins, Cliff?
America.
I like doing that. Hey, we're back. And, we're talking about LaWanna Clark. And, you know, one of the other things, too, on that, Cliff, is the fact that, like you said, she spent 6 months in prison. And folks say, you know, who goes to prison for perjury? And it was as if you have a group of folks in the Denver U.S. Attorney's Office, in the courthouse there, that are just going after people. You know, there's a lot of angles that we can go into. You know, they were accusing folks of money laundering. They went after the church that Ms. Clark was a member of in the IRP6. And, you know, that's one of the things, too, as far as the IRP6. You know, we have to point out the fact that even the IRP6, when you look at Gary and David and Dave and Kendrick and Clint and Demetrius, these are ethical businessmen. I mean, you know, the prosecutor's office would have everyone to believe otherwise. But these are ethical businessmen. They're Christian businessmen. They are family men. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, that I know is very disturbing. When we talk about that, you know, and talk about how it affects the families that are involved, you know, and we'll get back, you know, talking a little bit more about the case itself. But, you know, when we talk about the families and the children, and, you know, I'm happy to say that, you know, it just thrills me to death that Gary's son is here working with us at a Just Cause Coast to Coast. You know, it's like, you know, he's stepping in to do whatever he needs to do.
Right.
You know, Kendrick's wife is here, you know, and so we're doing whatever we need to do in order to make this thing happen.
Absolutely.
So, on a weekly basis, you know, the guys, you know, they get visits from the families. Mm-hmm. And, you know, share a little bit about that so for our list.
Well, actually, you know, like you said, they do go and visit them on a weekly basis. And I do also go and visit with these guys. And I watch, you know, the families and so forth interact with their spouses and so. And they do have a great time when they go and visit with them. And it's just sad that they can't, you know, take them home.
And Ethel, we'll be right back. We got this hard break that we got to take, but we'll be right back and we'll talk a little bit about that. You're on Adjust. Ethel Lopez and Cliff Stewart on conservativenationmedia.com.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among If you love America, you're among friends here.
You're tuned to a Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm supposed to be Stewart. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice on conservativenationmedia.com. Like to call in at 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Okay, we're going to go back to Ethel Lopez, and we're going to share a little bit of information as to, you know, how these types of things impact families. And, you know, it's one of those things that, again, you know, folks kind of turn the other cheek or turn the other direction, I should say, you know, from the standpoint that then, you know, it's not happening. But this kind of thing lets you know very quickly that this can happen to anyone. And so, you know, Ethel, the IRP6, we have Gary Walker, David Banks, Kendrick Barnes, Dave Zappolo, Clinton Stewart, and then also Demetrius Harper. Mm-hmm. You know, how is this affecting the families?
You know, that's one of the things that really bothers me with what's going on here with this case. And if I might say, you know, when you have this type of judicial injustice, it doesn't just affect, you know, the families, their friends. I mean, and it's like, you know, they really don't care. The people that are making these decisions, doing this injustice, doesn't even take into consideration that there are families that are involved here. You are destroying families. You know, this is the only place that I know of that rips apart families on a continual basis the way that our judicial system does here. And they give no thought, you know, to the process thereafter. It's like whatever happens to them is what happens to them. You know, you have Clint's mother, you know, single parent, and his daughter had to be put with another family just so that, you know, she could be taken care of.
And, you know, Ethel, one of the things I know, you know, when you at sentencing, mm-hmm. you know, for the IRP6, Judge Arguello, she sat on the bench and you know, she makes this comment time after time after time. You look at the transcript and she says, I have your life in my hand. You know, that is something that, I mean, that is arrogant gone to seed, so to speak.
Absolutely. That kind of stuff just burns your underwear. It's like, are you kidding me? Who? Your hand. Who don't you know that somebody bigger than you has your life in their hand? You know, I mean, when they make these stupid comments to people, that comes when you have been given too much power. You know, when with a federal judge who's been given too much power, that's what happens in cases like this. And they feel like they can do anything. So what if I destroy your family? You know, and I feel like with just within the United States itself, we have enough broken homes around here. And the thing is, the government is the one that's breaking them.
That's right.
So why do we need the government for help when they're the ones that are destroying our families?
That's right. And, you know, I know, Ethel, you know, like you were talking about with Clint and his daughter, you know, one of the things that I see so tragic about that is, you know, there was no consideration at all for his daughter and the fact that her age.
Exactly.
And no consideration for, you know, what was going to happen to her. And you know, I look at that type of situation, and had it not been for a strong support system,
yeah.
a strong, you know, external family, and, you know, and Clint Stewart is Cliff's. And, you know, the fact that, you know, the support system stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it could have been a young girl, a young teenager who could have been turned out onto the streets.
Absolutely.
They had absolutely no consideration as to, you know, what was going to happen to her.
Exactly.
And then you look at, you know, even Gary's son.
Right.
You know, and I know that they like to go out and play golf. They like to, mm-hmm. you know, go hiking and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Gary's son has suffered from seizures.
Right.
And it's intensified, mm-hmm. you know, as a result of this case because, yeah. you know, this is a tremendous amount of pressure on a family.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's one of those things. If we were to try to describe, you know, the seizures that he has, no one would believe that.
Exactly.
And so, you know, it's kind of one of those things that people just don't, it's almost like they don't care.
And that is so true. I mean, you look at this young man, and he's an only child. And so, you know, he's been grown up, you know, he's grown up into this very close family, close-knit family relationship here. And the time that he spent with his father, he treasures. And he's never been away from his father, you know, and to be put thrown, just I would say just thrown into a situation such as this, you know, with his father's life, basically, and he not being able to deal with this. I mean, with the seizures alone, the stress on top of that just makes it 10 times worse, if not more so. And then you have his mother who's also having to deal with the situation. You know, Demetrius Harper has a smaller child that's 8 years old. And I listened to his mother tell the story of when he went to the prison to visit with his father. And he was telling his dad, you know, he said, "Can come on and go home, come home with us." And his father was saying, "I can't, you know, I can't come right now." He said, no, I can't. He said, "When we get up and walk out, you can just walk out with us." And he was explaining to him, you know, "I can't do that, honey. I can't do that." You know, he wanted to take his father, put him in the back of the car, and put a blanket over him and take him home.
Yeah.
You know, when a small child, 8 years old, having to deal with something like that.
And, you know, Demetrius's wife was on another show here recently, and she was explaining how, you know, it's tough on kids from the standpoint of, you know, the kids go to school and their parents are there and their dad is there. And, you know, and then they start to ask, you know, "Well, where's your dad?" And, you know, for them to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's tragic.
Absolutely.
And Demetrius's daughter, mm-hmm. what, she's now 14, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
suffering from high blood pressure?
Exactly.
You know, that's one of those things, too, that it's, you know, when you look at it, it's, and I heard someone say once that, you know, the victims of wrongful incarceration
right.
extends beyond the people who are incarcerated.
And that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. I mean, looking at this girl, you know, if you would think this child is 14 years old. What are you doing with high blood pressure? You know, and again, it goes back to, you know, just this judicial system doesn't give a rat's tail about these families. You understand what I'm saying? They don't give a rat's tail. What they want to do is wrongly convict, to pack their prisons, to pay these get these big businesses paid, you know, through the people that they have in prison. And most, you know, I would say 9 times out of 10, none of them are innocent, you know. And that's why I am so adamant about being a part of this organization, is because these people need somebody to speak out for them, these families. And I am the person who is going to do it.
Right, and also is that you have the, you know, from the youngest being 8-year-old Braylon to the oldest being Kyle. How do we teach these kids what the judicial system means? I mean, do we throw the baby out with the bathwater? Mm-hmm. No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. We have to teach them that, you know, there's the law is good for those who break the law, but when the person that hasn't broken the law gets caught up in the system, what do you tell a 21-year-old man who watches his father incarcerated? You know, Kyle is my nephew, and you know, you teach them that, hey, you know, you still have to do what's right. You know, going out there trying to take it in your own hands, as far as doing something wrong or doing something violent, that's not the way to get the answers. But he's watched as we've reached out to Eric Holder. He's watched as we've called President Obama's
right.
office. He's watched as we've reached out to the Congressional Black Caucus,
mm-hmm.
to Congressman Conyers, Congressman Lewis, to all these places. And he looks and he action. And how do you tell a young man, you know, wait? Just wait. Something good is going to happen. You know, you try to tell them to have faith in the judicial system, but then you realize there that that's not where he can put his faith.
Well, you know what, Cliff? This is what I say. You tell them. First of all, you tell them to leave all of those who call themselves a part of the civil rights movement when Dr. King was coming up. Those are jackasses who don't care nothing about nobody but themselves. Okay, you tell them. Do not even call their name. Because they're going to sit back and come in my office and look at my window with a view. That's what you can tell them. Tell them to fight with everything that they have in them, because that is the only way that they're going to make it through.
And you know what? You know, and one of the things, too, is that on that, as far as the activity and the activism of the kids, is, you know, David Banks' daughter, Kia. You know, she's studying to be an attorney.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you look at the situation and you would think, you know, my God, when you see people that are, you got rogue agents, you got rogue prosecutors and people that are just, you know, dead set. And regardless of the truth and regardless of the law,
exactly.
You would think that someone would not even want to be participating in that.
Exactly.
Well, you know, Kia is actually... you know, she is doing very well in college.
Absolutely.
And I believe she's going to be an excellent attorney.
Oh, yeah.
And her dad, you know, David Banks, we all know that, that they're going to be exonerated. They're going to get out of prison, and they're going to get out soon.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that David is coming out with, you know, from within prison don't even have the resources that are necessary in order to put together some decent motions.
Right.
He's going far beyond what would be considered a decent. You're saying too, Kyle and the others are seeing the things that are going on and seeing the lack of consideration on the part of our lawmakers and so forth. You know, it's one of those things that it's good when you see the young people, the kids of these guys,
mm-hmm.
and our friends, you know, participating in the marches. I mean, we've had, you know, protest marches in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
We've had protest marches at the courthouse,
right.
At Senator Bennett's office,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we can just spend another hour just talking about Senator Bennett and all the situations associated with that. And so we just want to be sure that, you know, that this is one of those things where it takes an entire entire community to get involved. And we have to appreciate the fact of all the folks who have, you know, gotten involved around the country. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're going to continue to push for justice for the IRP6. We're going to continue to push for justice for other folks in this country who've been subjected to injustice. And we will be right back here in a moment. And thank you for joining us on A Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your steward, and Ethel Lopez. Education, awareness, information about judicial injustice. A Just Cause Coast to Coast right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like that. And you don't want to get caught short in case leftist drop the ball and leave the country, your family unable to get the basic life. And since that's the case, you're going to want to apply. You're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit to protect you and your defenses is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com, click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins.
Whether you're on whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
A Just Cause Coast to Coast. Get education, awareness, information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman, your host with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez on conservativenationmedia.com. If you'd like to call in, 718-305-7176. I want to give out the website for A Just Cause. That's www.a-justcause.com. Again, a-justcause.com. We have a special website set up for the IRP6, which is www.freetheirp6, that's the number 6.org. Again, freetheirp6.org. Just before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about the IRP6 and the families and the kids. So, you know, let's jump back into that. You know, I know that there is a very strong support system for IRP6, and you know, let's talk about, you know, it's fortunate that all of the guys are actually at the same place. I mean, obviously, we don't want them there,
right.
But the fact that they could be there together and support each other. Mm-hmm. You know, they're incarcerated at the federal prison in Florence, Colorado, and every week, you know, the families go and visit, and then there are groups of other folks who get a chance to go and visit, you know, about every couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Ethel, you and I, we get a chance to go visit them.
Absolutely.
Cliff, you go visit every week. You know, for the listeners who are new to the IRP story, you know, what can we say about the spirits of the guys and, you know how are they doing?
Well, every time I go and even hearing, you know, during the times that I don't go, these guys are just in great spirits. I mean, to be in a situation that they're in, you know, they can laugh and talk with their families and friends, you know, and they're just great guys, a great group of guys. And because they know that, you know, there are people out here, you know, who are fighting for them every day, home soon, and they can keep up their spirits. They can laugh and make jokes, and we tell them about things that are going on, you know, out here with us and things like that. So they enjoy hearing all of that stuff, you know, and they do what they can to contribute toward information and so forth, you know, and sending it to us via email and stuff like that. But these guys, you know, to be in the situation that they're in right now, I have to say that their spirits are just awesome. I love seeing them.
And it's important when we see them, you know, that, you know, because it's very difficult to and you leave them there. You know, Clint Stewart, yes, is my brother, but all of them are my brothers. Mm-hmm. Kendrick was my college roommate. I've been knowing him for over 20 years. Went to you know, high school with him and Demetrius Harper, and all the rest of the guys. We're all family. They're all our brothers. And to walk away mm-hmm. from that place at the end of visiting time and say, you know, we'll see you home soon. Mm-hmm. We hope that, you know, that the next time we come down here, it'll be to pick you up and take it. But to have them, you know, holding their head up mm-hmm. and you know, being in good spirits. And the fact that they can give us that when we leave, and the only way they can give us that is because they know that we're out here fighting. They know mm-hmm. that every chance that we get, we're telling somebody that they've been wrongly convicted. We're ringing Eric Holder's phone, telling him, "Hey, we need something done." We're letting everybody know in the public that, you know, this can happen to you. Join in the fight. So that it doesn't, so that we can hold these judges accountable,
exactly.
These prosecutors, and we can get all these agencies that claim that they're fighting for the American people, mm-hmm. that we can get them to do something. Because when you call them up and you're thinking, well, hey, something happened, you make a phone call to this person. They're the ones who are going to take care of it. You mm-hmm. go to the Office of Professional Responsibility, they'll hold a judge's feet to the fire. Mm-hmm. You go to the Office of the Inspector General, they're going to ensure that the law is upheld. Mm-hmm. But when we make these phone calls, when we talk to these different agencies, we find that it is a battle. It's much more difficult than just making a call, than actually just showing up in Washington. You can get on there. They're going to be there for a while. You're going to have to fight.
And, you know, Cliff, one of the things, too, is that, you know, we have written many letters mm-hmm. to all these agencies that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's crazy when you look, and the reply that you will get sometimes is a form letter
right.
that no one signs. And so, you know, that's one of the things why a Just Cause says, you know, we are seeking accountability and balance in the judicial process. You know, people have to be held accountable.
Right.
And it's almost as if they hide behind the cloak of the federal government, and I have this cush job, which, you know, a lot of them have been, you know, some folks thought I was being a little cynical when I said, well, none of them are doing anything anyway.
Exactly.
So it's like it doesn't hurt my feelings. I mean, except for the fact that I do have some friends who work in the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of our producers does. And so, you know, but, you know, except for that, people in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. you know, it's, when you run into these roadblocks and people that it seems as though they blatantly do not want to lift a hand, don't want to lift a finger at all to mm-hmm. assist. And, you know, Cliff, when you were talking about the guys and the fact that when we go and visit and when we leave there, you know, I want to invite our listeners to go out to the 3D IRP 6 website. On that site, you know, not only will you find a lot of documentation about this case, but the guys actually wrote some letters. And we named it, we titled it, you know, Letters from Prison. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people need to read that because it's an eye-opener from the standpoint of, you know, when you're on a concrete slab or you just have a little, you know, two-inch thin mattress or a cushion to sleep on, and in Gary's case, you know, having back issues from before, you know, no one cares about that. When Gary first went to prison, his eyesight, you know, we'll talk about as far as him going to the Air Force Academy and some things associated with that. But as far as in prison, mm-hmm. you know, he tried time after time after time to get his glasses. Mm-hmm. And you have a prison administrator there who basically says, why do you keep coming to me about this?
Exactly.
And so it's one of those things where, you know, this is about my eyesight. I need to be able to see.
Exactly.
You know, so why are you, you know, subjecting people to cruelty,
yeah.
cruel and unusual punishment. You got expired food
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you have a situation where junk food
mm-hmm.
and no one cares.
Yeah.
You know, and so it, those kind of things, you know, as we go on,
yeah.
you know, it's a lot about this case.
And it's amazing that you said that about the administrator, you know, and the glasses and so forth. And he's sitting there with his Coke bottles on, but he can't allow Mr. Walker to get his glasses. You know, what kind of stuff is that?
Right, and then to even to have the audacity to make the statement, why do you keep bothering me about these glasses? You know, why do you keep coming to me? Well, the reason I'm coming to you is because I cannot see, and my glasses would alleviate. And you have yours on, so let me have mine. And you look at it, and you the hardest thing is to know that your family, your friends are there. And when they're being mistreated, and as we've heard, you know, story after story from the things that they've told us and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the way that they were getting treated and the way that the system works, you know, we even had to fight from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up having to go to Washington to the Bureau of Prisons when they started to tell us all of the things that were going on there, mm-hmm. all of the mistreatment. And, you know, we're not only fighting for them, but for the other inmates as well, because even if a person is guilty, they do not deserve to be mistreated.
Mm-hmm.
And you're listening to Just Cause Coast to Coast. We're educating, making you aware, giving you information about this. Right?
If you love conservative internet radio as much as we do, then you already know about the Grit and Grace radio show. Jennifer Meadows and Josh Bernstein have been carrying the conservative message on the net for years. ConservativeNationMedia.com. Join Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for solid American patriotism, unapologetic commentary, and the latest news and conservative analysis with a good old dose of plain old-fashioned fun. That's Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. On ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
All right, well, good to be back and talking about justice in America, injustice in America, corruption in the judicial system, the parts of the system that don't work and what we can do to get it working. You know, we were talking here with Ethel Lopez. I'm Cliff Stewart, co-host of Sam Thurman on A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we're here to give you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice.
Hey, Cliff, let's use the last 15 minutes, you know, kind of put a little, you know, a little bit of a teaser out there, I guess, you know, some of the things that we're going through and some of the things that are under appeal right now with the IRP 6 case, and we want to be sure that, you know, folks are aware of what's going on. So, you know, quickly, if you can hit those, just hit those few points. We got to go to another break, and then we'll come back out and talk about those just a little bit.
Okay, we have the Fifth Amendment violation where one of the defendants was forced on the stand against his will with the threat of closing off the case. We have a violation of the Speedy Trial Act by Judge Christine Arguello. We also have a Sixth Amendment violation where evidence was not allowed, and we also have an expert witness allowed to testify. Those are the issues that we have on the table under appeal. The appeal has been put in for some while now, and we are waiting to hear back from the appellate court in the situation of IRP 6.
And then, you know, there's also that part of the story where there was forensic evidence that was not allowed, which is just, you know, it just blows you away because of the fact that when they say that the case was or that the business was not legit, but then you have a federal agent who basically says, yes, it is. So you're listening to A Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, with Cliff Stewart, my co-host, and Ethel Lopez. Coast to Coast, education, awareness, information about judicial injustice on conservativenationmedia.com.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backpack.
When I grow up, I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
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 I want to be
a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect Compete.
You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. Education, awareness, information about judicial injustice. A Just Cause Coast to Coast right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Hey, we're in our last 15 minutes of our first show. And, you know, just before that last break, we started talking a little bit about the things that are on appeal. And, you know, Cliff, Ethel talked about it a little bit at the top of the show. One of the things that we are really, really pushing for right now is that missing transcript. And so, you know, Cliff, you shared a little bit about it as far as how it came about, and, you know, the prosecution rested their case early, the IRP, to then try and get defense witnesses to appear. Those defense witnesses, some of which were federal employees, and for all practical purposes, they were playing games. And they did not appear when they should have. And the other thing, too, is because of the fact that the prosecution ended their case about a week and a half early, you know, some of the IRP 6 witnesses had to come in from places like Washington, D.C., had to come in from New York. And so, you know, they had to try and rearrange a lot of things. Well, you know, Judge Arguello basically admonished the guys for doing that. And
right.
So, you know, and when you look at the fact that that, you know, they were not able to get those witnesses in as soon as possible, that's when the Fifth Amendment violation situation came in, and Kendrick Barnes took the stand. The transcript that was associated with that is missing. We've been trying for 2 years to get that. And so we brought in an attorney to help in that effort. And so, you know, we're going to talk about attorney Mark Garagos here in a moment and a couple of the other attorneys who are assisting in the IRP 6 case. You know, you're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman with Cliff Stewart. That's Coast to Coast. Education, awareness, information about judicial injustice on conservativenationmedia.com. Okay, we're back at Just Cause Coast to Coast. And Cliff, you know, let's talk a little bit about the amendment violation and the transcript that we're trying to get. We have a lawsuit right now, a Just Cause against court reporter Darlene Martinez. Give us a quick update on that, and then we'll be ready to kind of wrap things up here shortly.
Yeah, and with that transcript, you know, as we had mentioned, we've been so many places in Washington, D.C., and coming back to, you know, Colorado. We had gone to the chief judge up there. We had gone to the Office of Professional Responsibility and also gone to the U.S. Attorney's Office up there, John Walsh's office, and reaching out to him saying, hey, you know, you've got a court reporter that is basically committing a federal crime in not presenting the entire transcript of a federal case. This should be public knowledge. The law says that I believe it's 2 weeks after a case is over that transcript should be available. All notes, all shorthand, everything should be available for everything that happened during that case. This Darlene Martinez, the court reporter, did not provide it and, you know, gave many excuses to why she didn't. First, she said, well, it's up to my discretion to give it, to put it out there. Available for $3.50 a page, and the bottom line is it's not up to her discretion. The law says she has to provide it. It has to be out there for no less than 10 years after the case is over, so that if any individual in the public, you, me, whoever, wants to see what happened during any federal case, they have free reign to do that. She hasn't provided it, and like I said, when we went to the U.S. Attorney's Office, their response is, hey, you know, she's not under our jurisdiction. There's nothing we can do to her. Why don't you know, she basically did this as an independent contractor, you know, was under a contract because a Just Cause paid her close to $1,000 for the entire transcript. They said, well, sue her for it. You know, take her to civil court, sue her, make her present it that way because there's nothing we can do. This is not under our jurisdiction. So we took them up on it. We sued Darlene Martinez. Like you say, you know, Mark Garagos has come on board to assist in that. And the crazy thing about it, when we sued her, you know, under the state court saying, hey, this was a breach of contract. We had her under contract, paid her to present the entire transcript. She did not. And so we sued her under the state and comes to her rescue. But the U.S. Attorney's Office.
And you know what, Cliff? You know, one of the things and you know, Just Cause has been reviewing transcripts from the IRP 6 case. And it's one of the things that is so blatant, and it's right in the transcript on the last day of trial, where Clint Stewart, your brother, actually asked Judge Arguello and basically was reiterating the request for the unedited transcript from that day of October 11, 2011, where the Fifth Amendment violation occurred. And the court reporter, Darlene Martinez, said that there are 200 pages missing, 200 pages, and the judge acknowledges this and basically says, well, that's going to cost about, you know, $600 for those pages, and I'm going to proceed. I'm reading directly from the transcript here. I'm not going to have an expedited and unedited version delivered to the defendants. Excuse me?
Yes. How does a judge
200
make
pages
that type of statement?
200 pages. It's like, if that is critical to your defense, it goes back to what you say all the time, Cliff. It's one of those things where the judge should be playing referee. She should be, you know, the scales of justice, and she has her hand on one side of the scale, and that side of the scale is saying, well, over here, you know, I have the information that can help you out, but I'm not going to allow it.
But
200
pages?
That
goes to show you that under no circumstances was she going to allow these men to win in her courtroom?
Exactly.
Under no circumstances.
And, you know, Ethel, we had one attorney tell us that, you know, or actually it was a call in to another show that we were on, that, you know, the judge and the prosecutors, mm-hmm. you know, because of the guys represented themselves pro se, mm-hmm. that they basically took the attitude that you guys may be smart enough to develop a world-class software, mm-hmm. but you're not going to come into my courtroom and expect that you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And they did everything within their power to ensure that that did not happen.
That's right.
You know, it's those kind of things where, you know, it should not be within our judicial system where the judge is sitting there and so, you know, slanted
exactly.
against the defendants.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, we had that attorney out of New York. He stated that when defendants defend themselves or represent pro se,
right.
you know, the judge owes it to those defendants, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
to kind of give a little bit of leniency. But in this case, he said that it was so obvious that Judge Arguello was holding the IRP 6 to a higher standard than attorneys who have the training.
Exactly.
And so, you know, you look through the transcript here and there, you know, she granted, an objection, you know, where the guys may object or if the prosecution objected,
mm-hmm.
you know, she might say, you know, overrule it or whatever. But, you know, Cliff, what, there were 48 motions submitted by the IRP 6?
Exactly, 48 motions submitted and two actually, basically granted by the judge without being contested by the prosecution. The rest of them were
and then two that were granted with the prosecution objecting. So, you know, you got out of 48 motions, only four are granted.
Exactly. And then for the prosecution, every motion that the prosecution came up with was granted for them. And, you know, when I say all the time that I'm supposed to act as a referee, you're supposed to be there, Judge Christine Arguello, to say, here's the law. If somebody on either side is breaking it, you're the step in and say, hey, file, you cannot do that. But to ensure that a group of men are prosecuted and convicted by helping out the prosecutor, by threatening to end the defense's case, by doing everything in your power, even all the way down to leaving the missing transcript, missing. That makes no sense. Every there's a missing transcript. They say that's impossible.
200 pages.
Right. There's
yeah.
200 pages,
200 pages
of a missing
mm.
of the transcript that's missing. They say that's not possible. That can't happen. That's against the law.
Mm.
That doesn't happen. You're talking about federal court. A judge's not going to do that. It's against the law. And we say, well, absolutely it is against the law. That should not happen. But it did happen. And then we say, so what now? That's the thing. So what happens now to that judge? What happens to the court reporter that the transcript is missing? And, you know, if somebody's out there listening and you know what direction that we take, you know who we should reach out to, somebody in some place that is the person we should talk to, give us a call. Let us know. Reach out. Send us an email at ajc_radio@a-justcause.com. Let us know what's going on. If you can help, then help, because you never know. This could happen to you.
And looking at that again, also, Cliff, I just want to say this real quick. When you're looking at a group of people who are friends and who work together in a law firm, and I mean from the law firm that brought forth the case to the prosecutor, to the judge, to the attorney, these men didn't stand a chance when they even walked into that courtroom. They were against them from the onset. There was no way they were going to allow them to win. You know what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying? No way.
And, you know, on this particular case, you know, we've only hit the tip of the iceberg. And, you know, we have a lot up here. So, you know, we invite folks to go to www.a-justcause.com, www.a-justcause.com, and then also www.freetheirp6.org. www.freetheirp6.org. You know, we have a lot of information to share. This is the Just Cause Coast to Coast. come to the close of our first show. Ethel, thanks for being here. And we're going to come back and do this all again next Tuesday on conservativenationmedia.com at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
My pleasure, Sam. And we want to thank to all of our engineers and our production crew. Great job tonight, guys.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good night, America.